One of the hardest things about running is being consistent and staying committed to a routine, especially during the pandemic. I know personally it's been a challenge to start running again and keep running, particularly when I'm by myself. When I'm with other runners, it's no problem, but when it's me trying to motivate, it's a different story. So if you need a little push and encouragement to get back out there, check out the Nike Run Club app. Their guided runs and training plans can help you stay accountable to your running. One of my personal favorite parts of the app is the ability to challenge a running buddy for a little friendly competition. And it's made my own personal training a lot more fun when I'm solo. So whether you want to start or keep running, the Nike Run Club app has so many incredible resources to help you reach a new goal. There's never been a bad time to start and commit to something new.
This week's guest is Chanel Price. We caught up at the end of Chanel's season that included going from not running in February to placing fifth at the Olympic trials in a PR. I love this interview because it was reflective of the true journey Chanel's been on as an athlete and person since qualifying for the trials as a high schooler. I hope you enjoy and can learn something about the power of perseverance and grit it takes to go through the ups and downs of a long professional career. Welcome, Chanel.
Welcome back to More Than Running with Dana, and today's guest is Chanel Price, an athlete for the Oregon Track Club who has been running at an elite level for a very long time, but this past year recently placed fifth at the Olympic trials, broke 2 minutes in the 800 six times, which you hadn't broken since 2015, has been an elite pacer, bringing her all around the world and overcome so much injury and strife. And this episode theme is about why keep going when life gets hard. So I couldn't have thought of a better guest than Chanel. So welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dana.
So let's start at the very, I'm not going to start at the very, very beginning, but kind of let's go to the start of the pandemic. Where were you, March of 2020?
March of 2020. So I was in Eugene, Oregon. I actually joined Oregon Track Club a few months before the pandemic hit. So I joined in October of 2019. And so I was super excited to join and just finally get healthy and get ready for the Olympic, what was supposed to be the 2020 Olympic trials. But then news hit about the pandemic. And it put everyone's plans on hold, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So you were in obviously you'd competed in Eugene, Oregon before, but living in a new place when the world kind of freaked out, what was that like of, being in a kind of an unfamiliar environment, building new relationships when everything kind of halted?
Yeah, it was tough actually. Before I moved out to Eugene, I was thinking about retiring and moving to where I am now on a little break in Easton, Pennsylvania. I was thinking about coming back here with my family, and so moving out to Eugene was a big leap of faith. And then when COVID hit, it was like, oh my gosh, should I have just retired and gone home? It's like you kind of question your decisions, right? And like you said, it was just so new for me. But with the Oregon Track Club, we all live together in a house, and so it was actually kind of nice to have all my training partners with me in the house. Kind of, we struggled together during quarantine, so they became my family away from home.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what's, you see all these different unique training environments, and to hear that you guys all live together, I think a lot of people don't know that. So what's it like living with the people you spend, every waking training hour with? You get to know people on a definitely intimate level.
Yeah, I'm laughing because it's interesting. And prior to moving to Eugene, I had lived by myself for years, since maybe 2014, I was living on my own. So to be put in a home with, the people that you train with, it's like, I was a little worried because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be with you guys all day, every day. But
it's reality TV.
Yeah, exactly. But, we're all adults and we give each other our space. And honestly, I don't think I would have made it through quarantine without them. My one of my closest friends now. I had just met her when I moved to Eugene, but Sabrina Sutherland, like we found ways to entertain each other, whether it was trying to learn the latest TikTok dance or watching Netflix together. So yeah, I mean, it was definitely a blessing having just to be in the house with her every day.
Yeah. So you briefly mentioned that you were debating retiring. Kind of what was the thought process of, I'm not done yet. I have to see this through. You competed at the Olympic trials way back when you were 17 years old. And, you know, that's kind of a unique experience in and of itself. Not many teenagers do compete at the Olympic trials. You know, obviously a successful collegiate career, kind of in 2014, getting to the highest level of the sport. What made you think like there's more things that I haven't accomplished yet, and I need to see this through? Because some people could look at that and say like, yeah, you kind of accomplished a lot. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I've just always wanted to be in the final at the Olympic trials and give myself that shot of placing top three and getting on that team. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the trials since, 2008? So 2008, 2012, 2016, this was my fourth try. And like I said, I just really wanted to make that final and give myself a chance to make the team. And prior to this year, I had never made the final. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
But that didn't come without some bumps and bruises along the way. So I think that we'd be remiss not to kind of talk about, you know, in November 17th of 2020, you found out about a reoccurring foot injury in your metatarsal. And, you know, I think you mentioned it's like when you know the Olympic trials are coming, there's a date, you're doing everything you possibly can, you're already doing all the little things, and then your body kind of says, nope, this isn't working. What kind of were those feelings going through your head when you found out that you were injured again? And was this a reoccurring injury?
Yes, this was reoccurring. And this was, this injury was the one where I was just like, you know, I almost said I'm done. Like I was just so drained from just everything that was happening. Take it back to 2017 when, that's when the trials and tribulations really started, when I found out about some blood clots in my lungs in 2017, January 2017. And so it seems like ever since then, it was just kind of one thing after the other. That same year, I found out that I came back from those blood clots way too quickly, and my body just shut down. And in the summer of 2017, I had mono. And then in October of 2017, I fractured my foot again. So it was just kind of like being punched one thing after the other. To answer your question, 2017 was when I fractured my metatarsal the first time. And 2018 was when I fractured it again and ended up getting surgery. 2019 was just me really just trying to come back from this foot, from the foot surgery. And that's when I made the decision to join OTC and to really get some help with that foot injury and get back healthy. So then when COVID hit, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm finally healthy. And now there's COVID. and then in November of 2020, when it fractured for the third time, that's when I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this again. But again, like I mentioned earlier, just having a dream of being in that Olympic trials final and giving myself a shot of making the team, I think, I know that's what kept me going. I think when you have a strong enough why, you can overcome just about anything. And so just when I was on that cross trainer, on the bike, on the elliptical, just seeing myself in that final, that's what got me through those long months of not being able to run.
I really love that strong enough why statement. Yeah. You know, it's very true to why even, you know, make your profession being running around a circle. I think enough of us who have done this get enough questions of why you're doing this. And if it's not internal, then that motivation is kind of hard to come by. So finding it within you of, you know, being a better person, getting out there, doing it for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that it came out in the way that you raced, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't know if you felt that way, but it almost looked as if you were running kind of with no apprehensions left at the time. So did you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, at first, the first, you know, when this happened in November, you know, that's, I mean, you understand. I don't know if everyone else understands, but that's not that much time, you know, to get myself back to for the trials in June. You know, I didn't start running again until February. And so I think the first emotion that I felt at the trials was just, I was just so grateful that I was back. And I was not only back, but I was fit. I was ready. And I was like, wow, like, coach, we did this. Like, we got me back in time. And so I was just grateful. And I was just, like I said, I almost gave up when I fractured it that third time. And, you know, I had every reason to walk away. You know, no one would have been like, oh, you're a quitter. I fractured my foot for the third time. You know, anybody would have been like, okay, we understand why you're walking away. But I didn't. And so I was like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. I didn't give up. We did this. And so when I was like, I am going to just go, I told my coach was like, oh, I don't know if you should lead. And I'm like, coach, look, I feel comfortable out front. Every single round, I am taking the lead and I'm not looking back. If these girls are going to beat me, we are going to run fast. You know, I'm not waiting for one of those sit and kick races. No, we are going to run fast every round. And I committed to that. And looking back, like I wouldn't change a thing. Like that's my style. That's where I feel comfortable. And I'm so proud of myself for going out there and just giving it my all. So.
Yeah, and it sounds like you don't have any single ounce of regret in there. You know? I think that's the best part, you know, it's committing to that next Olympics. You've mentioned this on your social media. You don't know what's coming next.
Yes.
Kind of, which is great. We're all kind of in that zone of like, what the heck is next? The, mm-hmm. Especially when the Olympic trials were moved, you know, setting expectations for an event, committing your life to an mm-hmm. event, and then having that date being shifted. It's like we're all not the same person we were pre-pandemic. Right. We are different. We've experienced so much adversity. And yeah, I had such a great time watching. I think the women's 800 was my favorite event to watch at the trials just because there were so many good storylines, so many personalities. And, you know, the young guns kind of came out. You can't account for that, but you can really only truly account for yourself. And like you said, you ran the style that you liked to race. And how did you kind of rebuild your confidence? Obviously, going, you know, getting fit and stepping up to the line is one thing. Rebuilding yourself from injury is another thing. But true internal confidence and belief, like how did you find that missing puzzle piece?
Yeah, that's so good. I think for me, it all started in practice. You know, that's usually where I carry my confidence into races is like from my sessions, right? And so for a while I was getting my butt kicked by Sabrina and Hannah, you know, just because when I was cleared to run, coach was, he was kind of just like, look, we don't really have that much time. He just kind of threw me in. He was like, hang on for dear life. One day it'll click. One, you'll keep closing the gap. And one day you'll be right with them in training. Just trust me. And he was right. I mean, the gap slowly got smaller and I started to catch up to Hannah and Sabrina in training. And as you're doing that, your confidence slowly, you know, it gets a little bit higher and higher as your training starts to get better and better. And so I can remember exactly where it happened. It was when we headed to one of the races in Portland in May, and I knew Sabrina was going after the Olympic standard. I wasn't quite sure if I was ready yet, but I told coach, I said, I want to get back to my front running in this race. You know, I don't know what's going to happen the second lap, but the first lap, I want to, trials are coming up. I want to get back to front running. That's where I feel comfortable. And I know I can help Sabrina get this Olympic standard if I get the race going. And that's what I did. I took the lead, and you know, Kate Grace was in there, Sabrina Sutherland, Raven Rogers. We all just got after it in Portland. And I think that's when it clicked. I didn't win. I don't even know if I came top three, but I was like, I'm back. You know, I broke 2 minutes for the first time in since, like we said, since 2015. And yeah, so it started in practice, and then once practice started going better, I told coach, I want to take the lead at this race. Let's see what happens. And I didn't win, but I ran fast, and we all got the standard, and it was just a huge celebration. I can still remember we were all jumping on each other, like, oh, we got the Olympic standard. Like, it was a great day. And so once we did that, we returned to training, and the confidence, it all came from practice. We were really, really getting after it in our sessions together. So
that's such a good life mantra too. You know, it's like you're rehearsing for the moment that you can see yourself in.
Yes,
you know, you saw the moment and you knew there's a gap in between, but you weren't afraid to go after it. I think that's such a good life lesson of we do things before we're ready. Mm-hmm, you know, you didn't know necessarily if you're ready, but if you didn't try, you never would have done it. And I think you tried. So one of the other things you wrote in one of your Instagram posts is that you celebrate small victories. Mm-hmm. And yes. Is that something that you kind of think about all the time in your daily life, of celebrating these small victories, of especially when you come off an injury, you're like, yes, I got to jump on one foot and it didn't hurt.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I just, it's so vivid in my mind. Like it was yesterday, just going to the PT and him letting me do just a little bit more, you know, oh, you can run on the Alter G for one more minute and that's a victory, you know, or you can take a little bit more, you can add a little bit more body weight to your run today on the Alter G. You know, like you said, you have to celebrate those small victories. And even getting closer and closer in training to my training partners, you know, it's hard getting your butt kicked every single day in practice. But you kind of have to switch your perspective, you know, okay, well, I'm closer today. Try to change it into a positive instead of going home like, oh gosh, they kicked my butt again. It's like, oh no, I'm 5 seconds behind instead of 10 today. So just all about changing your perspective. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that way in kind of workouts that you're uncomfortable with? I know that you mentioned you were traditionally like a lower mileage athlete, and then you had to, you know, add a little bit more volume. So is that the kind of mindset you take when you're doing workouts that aren't necessarily your cup of tea? You know, we all have to do them. Even if you're a new athlete and you're just starting a training program and you see on the calendar that you have, you know, a tempo run that you have never done before. So how did you kind of join a new team, a new training program, more volume, kind of attack those uncomfortable workouts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, I had this mindset, like if I'm going to up and move to Eugene and give this, you know, give this group a try, then I'm going to be all in. And so I bought into my coach's philosophy and I just took it one day, one rep at a time, and tried not to compare myself to maybe, you know, a Hannah who is much more aerobic than me. It's just comparing myself to her would have just been put me down a really dark hole. And so I was just like, you know, I can only do what Chanel can do today, and I'm just going to give it my best and just trust this new training program. And like you said, just kind of for me, just taking it one rep at a time and one day at a time. And, you know, if we, you know, as runners, you know, we can compare, okay, I did 1Ks this fast this month, but this is, you know, 5 seconds faster than what I was able to do last month. And so I compared myself to myself, but not myself to anybody else, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because it's fun to see that progress, but sometimes, you know, I sometimes month to month, I wouldn't improve. I would get maybe worse than I was last month, but it just talked to my coaches. Oh, Chanel, that happens sometimes. You know, it's a roller coaster ride. You're not just going to progress. And so just open communication with my coach and not comparing and just, Yeah, celebrating the small victories. I love how you said that. That has definitely been staple in my career.
I think I stole that from you. So.
Yeah.
I definitely think that sometimes there's this rhetoric of you need 18 months healthy to get to who you want to be. You need the consistency. It's trust the process. We hear that all the time. Trust the process. You need the consistency. And I think that you've kind of disproven that, you know, you've kind of had this adversity and starting running at February to running your best races of your life. Obviously you have years and years and years of experience and volume and, you know, the mental work and, you know, your community that you've built, but how did you kind of overcome that notion of, I don't have that much time. And I know that even with, I'm sure, within that February to June, there were ups and downs as well. So how did you overcome like the pressure of time that we often feel like we are as people up against, you know, someone did this by 30 and someone did this by that age. How did you go up against that notion of there's only a little bit of time and I have a lot to do?
Right. That's so good. I think when it initially happened in November, I sat down with my coach and I said, you know, asked him exactly what you just asked me, like, coach, is there enough time? You know, I'm going into a boot and I'm not going to be cleared to run for a few months. Like, what do we do? Should I just walk away? Like, is this too big of a task? And he was honest with me. He says, Chanel, I don't know, but I would rather you try. Then look back and say, well, I should have, or I could have, you know, and I really appreciated his honesty. I agreed with him. I said, you know what? All we can do is try. And I can live with trying and it not working out more than I can live with not trying at all. That's just my personality, you know? And so I said, let's do this together. And it took a lot of communication with my coach. I mean, with that type of approach, it actually took, of course, there was the pressure of the time crunch in the back of my mind. But I think along the way, I just, how do I say this? I think making it to the line at the trials was going to be a bonus for me, because in my head I was like, I really don't know if this is going to happen. So if it does, then like, thank God, because I really don't know if I'm going to make it to the line. So I was trying not to put so much pressure on myself and just say like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least I try. At least I know I tried, you know? So that was kind of my approach.
When you stepped up to the line in Eugene and you're in this kind of crazy stadium that, you know, has so much history. You've been there before. Did you have any moment of, you know, that kind of gratitude moment on the starting line, or were you just like game face, you know, like, nah?
I was one of the athletes who was thankful for the time delay on the day of the final, because that whole day, I don't know, I was
There was a like a rain delay or heat delay?
Heat delay. Yeah. There was like, it got pushed back like a lot of hours, but I was thankful because that whole day I was so emotional. I was just overwhelmed. I was crying. I was, one of my mentors is Hazel Clark, and I was talking to her and I was like, I call her Peachy. I'm like, Peachy, like, I did it. Like, I made the final after everything I've been through these past like 4 or 5 years. Like, I did it. I can't believe it. So I don't think that was the right time to reflect, but for whatever reason, I chose the day of the final to reflect on the journey and all the adversity and everything that I've been through. And so, I mean, standing on that line was, you know, I think the most joy I had ever felt on a starting line. Like, I was just like so happy and just so thankful that just this feeling of like, wow, I really did it. Like, I made it to the final of the Olympic trial. So yeah, I was not game face Chanel. I was so just smiling and happy and taking it all in, because it has been, you know, quite the journey. It's been tough. So
when you finished that race, you know, coming in fifth is I mean, in an 800, you know, a couple seconds, you can see it, but it's so close, you can taste it. You know, it's right in front of you. How did you remain grateful and just kind of with that positive mentality you had? You know, we sent an amazing team to the Olympics. And what did you feel after you crossed the line of fifth?
I looked up and I so desperately wanted to see a PB. I didn't know how fast I had ran because, you know, a thing was so far ahead. So I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just run? She gapped us by so much. And so when I saw the 158 and the PB by those letters, you know, that we all desperately look for, I was like, okay, you didn't make the team, but you just ran a personal best. You broke 2 minutes every single race out here at the trials. Even if I tried to be like upset or sad, like I was just like, I just told myself, like, Chanel, like you can't be upset. Like you just ran the fastest you've ever ran. And you were just in a boot like 7 months ago. So like, just be proud of yourself. You know, I tried to any negative thought that came in, I was like, nope, you're gonna be proud of yourself because you almost didn't even make it to this meet. And so you hold your head up high. So a lot of self-talk because, you know, of course I wanted to make the team. So those thoughts crept in, you know, like, oh man, I didn't make it. Nope, Chanel, nope, be proud of yourself. So I just didn't even let myself get upset because I just had so much to be proud of.
Yeah, you absolutely did. And after the trials, how did you, you know, it's such an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. You know, the pandemic, everything, it's everything you went through, so emotional. How did you keep running and racing through the summer? You know, I think that it's a peak of so much you put into it. You kind of had an amazing summer. You kept racing. You have become this incredible go-to pacer in the European track circuit. So after the trials, you're just like, this is all icing on the cake. I just want to keep going, see how my body's going to hold up. And, you know, you made it all the way to the end of the season. True end of the track season. So you went to the final end of it. So how did you, you know, I'm not going to say make it through the summer, but really like kill it this summer.
Yeah. That's such a good question. So I think immediately after the trials, I just kind of rode that high of, you know, of that just thankfulness and being proud of myself. And I think I had like maybe 3 days before my agent was like, okay, you're going to Europe. And I was still on that high. So I was like, okay, let's do it. Like, I'm so fit. Let's maximize this fitness. Let's go over there. Let's pace. Let's race. So I went over to Europe right away after the trials and really enjoyed it and had such a positive attitude. It wasn't really until I got back from that trip, took a tiny, tiny break, spoke to my agent. He's like, okay, you're going to go to Europe again, but after the Olympics. And that's when everything kind of hit me. I was like, oh, okay, the Olympics. Yeah, oh yeah, that's happening, you know, like I'm going to have to, you know, watch that and still go back over to Europe after that. That was a bit rough. You know, I'm human. And so I wanted to be there, was definitely cheering for Team USA, but it was harder for me to, it was harder for me to get to Europe this second time that I just went in, late August, early September. They say that post-trial slump, it hit me a little bit later than it may have hit some other people. I definitely went into a slump where I just didn't really want to train anymore. I didn't really want to go to Europe. I started thinking like those thoughts of like, what's next? Am I going to retire? So this last Europe trip was a bit tough for me. I think there was just so much on my mind. This last trip was a bit tough.
Well, it's just shocking that you are so human. I was like, if you could ride that high all summer, then you don't want the conversation with your brain. Who's your sports like? Let me talk to them. But yeah, then, I mean, those thoughts do come in, and I think that in sport and in life, there's, you know, there's always going to be someone ahead of you in a way. And if that's like kind of your barometer of success, then it doesn't work. But if you can look back and see how much you've accomplished and done. But yeah, I think that I was so impressed by everyone who got back out there, Greece and Europe. Well, it seems like you're taking some time, much needed time off right now. So hopefully giving your body and mind the time to rest and recover.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Like I said, the last Europe trip, I found myself just, you know, being weighed down emotionally and mentally, not even physically. Physically, I've been feeling okay. And I think that's because of that injury, I did start a bit later than everybody else. So physically, I'm doing okay. It was just mentally and emotionally while I was in Europe, just overthinking and being anxious about, you know, just, you know, my near future and the decisions I need to make moving forward. And I don't run well when I have all that, you know, on my mind. I don't know how anyone does. And so, I just felt really weighed down in my races. And finally, the last race over there, I was just like, you know what, Chanel, enjoy these moments. You can figure out your near future when you get home. Like, just go out there and have fun and enjoy. And I was just so glad that I could end the season sub two again. And that was totally a mental shift. It wasn't anything that changed physically. I was just like, you know what? Just be here, be in Europe, stop thinking so much about what's next. And that really helped. So I was happy to end on a high note.
Exactly. Yeah. And now you are back at home, hopefully spending some time with the people that you love. Yes. And, you know, and give yourself the space to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. I don't think a lot of athletes talk about the R word a lot, that retirement word. it's a tough decision. But like you said, I'm here with the people I love. I'm here with my family, taking a much needed break and just trying to figure it all out.
Well, we'll be here watching. And whatever decision you choose to make, I think that you have a world of support behind you. People have just been inspired by your journey that I hope that continually sharing that is a part of it, because I know certainly it's inspired me to keep going when things have got tough. You know, personally, I had, you know, had an injury leading into the trials. So kind of the other side of the coin of you. So I think just hearing this conversation has really vitalized me and made me feel like, you know, you just have to put your head down and keep going. And that uncertainty, you know, you just have to work through it day by day. And right. I hope that whatever you choose to do next is still inspiring more people.
Oh, thank you so much. That is definitely the goal.
More Than Running with Dana is brought to you by the Sidious Mag Podcast Network. And this episode was produced by Chris Chavez. I'm your host, Dana Giordano. If you liked what you heard, please give us a like and review. It truly helps so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for running.